Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are live from The Game Studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. And of course, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Ask D-Mace in 30 minutes. So make sure to get your calls, your texts, your questions in for D-Mace. And the best question for D-Mace will win four tickets to see Belmont men's basketball take on Murray State on January 17th. So make sure to get those questions in for D-Mace. We will get to those in 30 minutes. D-Mace, you want a quarterback and you want your guy bad. I know you do. I know that's what you want the Titans to do in the offseason, find the quarterback of the future. And I think in the past, you know, since the NFL is such a copycat league, in the past, the path to a Super Bowl and the path to finding your next quarterback, your next guy of the future that is going to lead you to a Super Bowl was be bad enough to draft first overall in the draft, and you find your guy at the top of the draft. It's what the Arizona Cardinals did with Kyler Murray. Go way far back. It's what the St. Louis Rams did with Sam Bradford when they were just awful for so many years. It's what the Cincinnati Bengals did with Joe Burrow. They were so awful, they got the first overall pick, and the Cincinnati Bengals lucked out with being bad enough and having the first overall pick in a draft where Joe Burrow was in that draft. So that was kind of the blueprint. And then the Rams switched things up. They kind of switched up that narrative that you didn't necessarily have to be so bad and get the first overall pick in the draft and draft your quarterback of the future. You didn't have to do that as long as you were willing to give up what it takes to find a guy who was proven. And that's what the Rams' path to the Super Bowl was. They said, F them picks. They got all the tools that they needed, and they found the quarterback that they thought was going to be the one to lead them to a Super Bowl, and they did. Mm-hmm. The Rams recreated a potential blueprint or a potential roadmap to winning a Super Bowl. Now, we've been talking, you and I, D-Mace, pretty much all week long about how the Titans could use the former blueprint to a Super Bowl, finding your guy in the draft. But is there a guy out there that they could use the Rams blueprint and the Rams roadmap to potentially win a Super Bowl? Because you look at the guys out there, Aaron Rodgers has been in the conversation. I'm out on Aaron Rodgers. I don't need the Titans giving up picks to go get Aaron Rodgers, who I think the Titans would just absolutely hate having him within this organization. But is there another guy out there? Stephen A. Smith on First Take yesterday mentioned one that could potentially be on the trade market.
What should the Ravens do about Lamar?
Trade him.
What?
You heard what I said?
Trade him?
Trade him.
Oh, I thought we were going to we'll hope Tyler Huntley gets back. I didn't know we were going there.
Well, listen, he hasn't practiced. He's missed the 16th straight practice. This is the second consecutive season that he has been out for the last five games of the regular season. Let me be very, very clear. Lamar Jackson is an electrifying talent that I want on my team any day of the week. But clearly, it's taken a while to get that long-term contract situation done, Dan Orlovsky. So my mentality is, if you're the Baltimore Ravens, all right, clearly there's difficulty in getting him inked to a long-term deal.
Okay. Stephen A. Smith saying Lamar Jackson could potentially be on the trade market. First and foremost, the question that we have to ask is, would the Ravens even be willing to do that? I mean, the Ravens have built up this team completely around Lamar Jackson. He is the Baltimore Ravens. Would they be willing to trade him?
Man, you're going to have to give up a lot to get Lamar Jackson. I mean, a lot. You're going to have to give up more to get Lamar Jackson than you would have to move up in the draft. And then you got to turn around and pay him guaranteed money.
Three first-round picks probably for Lamar.
Yeah, and guaranteed
rounds.
Money.
Yeah. And so it'll be 40-plus million a year.
Yeah. So, again, as much as I like Lamar as a quarterback, I'm not even talking about an athlete. I know everybody goes to, oh, I like him as a athlete or as a, you know, football player. No, I like Lamar as a quarterback. The thing about Lamar is this. As much as they built this offense around him, everyone that is saying they like him as a athlete and not much as a quarterback haven't looked at what they've done from a receiver standpoint for him. They have not done much for him to get him outside help. They got him a hell of a tight end. Like, I take the tight end. Give me the tight end. Along with Chigakonkwo, both of them together. Oh, my goodness. We can run Super Bowl after Super Bowl once we get our quarterback. But That's the only thing that he has as a legitimate pass catcher. It's Andrews. That's it. Mm-hmm. Everyone else, it's just like a revolving door because for some reason, they have not been able to draft a legitimate pass catcher since the inception of the franchise for whatever reason. So, yes, you can say, and they have built this offense around Lamar. They have, but they have not helped him out any. They have not gotten him a top flight pass catcher either through the draft, which they should have by now, or through free agency. They haven't consistently got someone, or if they did, it's only been for 3 or 4 years.
And they drafted Rashad Bateman last year.
Absolutely. And he's been injured, but he's come on. Mm-hmm. But they need someone that can come in there and legitimately be a star for them at the receiver position. And Lamar hasn't had that. Now, if he goes to another team that's already set up for that, then he will be a much better quarterback. We said for 2 years, we were getting ready to write off Josh Allen. Like, this guy he doesn't have it. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, they get Diggs, and they get some other people, and they get some other people. All of a sudden, it's like, he's an elite quarterback.
Well, look at the Eagles.
The same thing.
I said in the draft last year, when the Titans traded A.J. Brown to the Eagles, mm-hmm. I said, what in the world does Philadelphia have to do to realize that they can have to stop spending all of these elite draft picks and really good capital on wide receivers until you realize Jalen Hurts is your problem. Mm-hmm. But I was incredibly wrong, because that's exactly what Jalen Hurts needed. You know, they spent a first-round pick on Devontae Smith, spent a first-round pick on A.J. Brown, and it worked. Mm-hmm. Now Jalen Hurts is an MVP candidate.
They built up the offensive line, and they got him a tight end, and Jalen Hurts looks like the best quarterback in the National Football League.
He's I'm not going to go that far, but he looks pretty good.
Is he the best quarterback? No. But at times, there's nothing he can't do. Mm-hmm. You want him to run the ball? He can run the ball. You want him to throw the football? He can throw the football. There's nothing that he can't do as a quarterback. Why? Because you got him help. Lamar's the same reason. If you surround him, if you give him help, he's already an electrifying player. He's a damn good quarterback, but if you get him the necessary pieces, he goes from a damn good quarterback to an elite quarterback now because he got people to throw to. So if I'm the Baltimore Ravens, I'm not looking to trade him. I'm looking to surround him with a bunch of new players, give him his deal, and away we go, because now you have your quarterback in-house. You trade him away, let's see what happened to your franchise when you trade Lamar Jackson away. You're going to be searching for a quarterback for the next 5 or 6 years.
And that's the thing, is that that's the first question we have to ask, is would Baltimore even be willing to do it? I don't think that mm-hmm. they would. But let's live in fairy tale land for a little bit. That Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, with all of this contract negotiations and all of the disputes that they've had with one another, that Lamar is like, look, I just need to, and he's a free agent in 2023, but let's say the Ravens sign him to a contract, mm-hmm. and Lamar says, I want out. You know, I want to be traded. Then should the Titans be suitors?
No, they still shouldn't be suitors. Again, I'm going to stick to what I said. I want, as much as I like Lamar Jackson as a quarterback and as a football player, I want my own quarterback. I want my own quarterback that I can go out and scout, that I can bring in, that I can groom to be that guy. I don't want somebody else's quarterback, because even with Lamar Jackson, you bring him in, dynamic player, dynamic to me, quarterback, mm-hmm. but you have to build that. You have to build the offense around him. You got to do some things around him. You got to go out and get another pass catcher. You got to go out and rebuild your offensive line. I don't think if you bring in Lamar in, you got to trade away picks, and then you got to pay him. So where does that leave you as far as rebuilding your team? Not much. You can't do much in regards to rebuilding your team. So to me, I'm going to stick with what I said. Go and get your own quarterback. Move up in the draft. Get your quarterback. Build your team around your franchise quarterback that you will have, hopefully, for the next 15 years. And we will never, ever have to worry about a quarterback situation again, because we got our number one and we got our number two in Joshua Dobbs.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Should the Titans go after Lamar Jackson if the Ravens do decide to trade Lamar Jackson? We'll get into your thoughts on that, my thoughts on that, plus ask D-Mace in 15 minutes. We'll get your questions in for D-Mace. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
What should the Ravens do about Lamar?
Trade him.
What?
You heard what I said?
Trade him?
Trade him.
Oh, I thought we were going to we'll hope Tyler Huntley gets back. I didn't know we were going
there. Well, listen, he hasn't practiced. He's missed the 16th straight practice. This is the second consecutive season that he has been out for the last five games of the regular season. Let me be very, very clear. Lamar Jackson is an electrifying talent that I want on my team any day of the week. But clearly, it's taken a while to get that long-term contract situation done, Dan Orlovsky. So my mentality is, if you're the Baltimore Ravens, all right, clearly there's difficulty in getting him inked to a long-term deal.
There you go. That was Stephen A. Smith on First Take yesterday. He says, Lamar Jackson, Baltimore Ravens, trade him. Trade him. So should the Titans be in on the Lamar Jackson sweepstakes? And there are so many questions that have yet to be answered from the Titans organization of if this is even a possibility of do they want to move on from Ryan Tannehill? I don't know the answer to that question. If not, then this is all just a moot point. Do the Ravens even have any interest of trading Lamar Jackson? And I don't know the answer to that question, but I have to say probably not, seeing as though this franchise is built around Lamar Jackson. But let's live in fantasy land. Mm-hmm. Let's live in a world where the Ravens are willing to deal Lamar Jackson and the Titans are in need of a quarterback. He would make this team infinitely better. He could come in and the Titans would be talked about as a Super Bowl contender with Lamar Jackson as the starting quarterback. And he's a proven commodity. I think that's why the Rams move to trade for Matthew Stafford was so attractive, because you don't have to wait out through the rookie years of, mm-hmm. The first year when you're probably going to be bad, a la Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars, that you know for certain that this guy has success in the league. We know that he can compete at this level. He's a proven commodity and not as much of a risk as maybe perhaps drafting a quarterback, period. Mm-hmm. But then I think about Russell Wilson. And what the Denver Broncos did in order to get Russell Wilson, trading all of those picks, trading Noah Fant, and Russell Wilson comes in, and everybody thought that the Broncos were going to be, the next team in the AFC, that the Denver Broncos all of a sudden were going to be Super Bowl contenders. But Denver didn't do anything to improve the team around Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson didn't have any targets to throw to. There was no talent around Russell Wilson. When Jerry Jeudy is probably your best receiver, I mean, that puts you in a pretty difficult spot. No disrespect to Jerry Jeudy, but he's not Justin Jefferson. Mm-hmm. No, he's not one of the top receivers in the league. So I think that is one thing that kind of makes me nervous about it is we see the Russell Wilsons. When you don't have appropriate weapons around the quarterback that you sold out to get, you're not going to be very good, and now you're stuck with no picks. So you're bad, you don't have any talent around your quarterback, and you have no picks to go out and get him. And, oh, also, by the way, you're paying him $45 million a year.
Well, that was Denver's fault. I never looked at Russell Wilson as an elite quarterback. I looked at him as a good quarterback that benefited a lot from that historical defense and Marshawn Lynch, the way he was running. He can't carry a team by himself. It was proven once they broke that defense down. He wasn't the same guy. And even though he had playmakers, he was going to put up numbers, but he wasn't going to win you championships alone. You had to have other things to go along with that. So I never looked at Russell as a elite quarterback. A good quarterback, absolutely, he's mm-hmm. a good quarterback. But elite quarterback, they sold out as if he was Peyton Manning and Tom Brady when he was nowhere near Peyton Manning or nowhere near Tom Brady. Hell, he's nowhere near Joe Burrow. But they sold out as if he was that guy. Mm-hmm. The problem with Lamar Jackson is this, if you're looking to trade for him, or if the Ravens are looking to put him on the trading blocks, which I don't think I think that would be like the last resort for them if they know they knew they just couldn't do anything. Someone's going to want you to sign and trade. Someone's going to want to make sure we can get a deal done. Mm-hmm. Not working on your fifth year, contract with that fifth year where he's scheduled to make, I think, 45 That tag is 45.6, I think, for a quarterback for a one-year deal. Teams are not – I don't think teams are going to agree to that. They're going to want you to sign him to a long-term deal and then – trade him because they don't want to deal with the hassle of trying to sign Lamar, because he might end up in the same situation he is with Baltimore, not being able to work out a deal. So if you're going to trade Lamar, it has to be a sign and trade. You sign him, trade him to us, and then we'll give you what you want. I don't know if Baltimore's at that point yet, because if they can work on it, if they can sign him, they're going to keep him. Point blank. Mm-hmm. If they can sign him, they're going to keep him. So I don't see Lamar Jackson going anywhere. But if it did come to that, again, I want my own quarterback. As much as I like Lamar Jackson, as much as I would love to have him here, I want my own quarterback. I want a guy that I went out and scouted. If I'm the GM, I went out and scouted, and I truly believe that with this offense or these players, he can fit right in. If I bring Lamar in, I'm going to have to change some things. I am. Yeah. As an offensive coordinator, as a head coach, I'm going to have to change some things.
Yeah, your system changes.
Exactly. But if I go out and get my quarterback, I know exactly what I'm getting. I know exactly how he fits in our standing offense and what he can do for that offense. Again, I don't want somebody else's deal. I don't want somebody else's problem. Not to say Lamar is a problem, but I don't want somebody else's problem. I want my own. I want to go out and get my own. I want to groom a guy so I can look back and say 2 years later, this is the guy we went and got in. Look at where he's taking us.
And we always have the conversation with Ryan Tannehill. Is Ryan Tannehill the quarterback that can get you to a Super Bowl single-handedly? And the answer is no. He's not that kind of quarterback. There have been conversations, those same conversations being had about Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. Because Lamar Jackson has not gone any further in the playoffs than Ryan Tannehill has gotten the Titans. I mean, since Lamar Jackson has taken over as a starting quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens, they've gotten bounced in the wild card round, went to the divisional round of the playoffs in 2019. That's when the Titans beat them in 2019. Went to the divisional round of the playoffs in 2020 after beating the Titans at home in the wild card round, and then lost to the Bills in the divisional round. And then in 2022 wild card round, they lost to the Cincinnati Bengals.
I'm going to ask you this before you finish it. Last year, when everybody had picked the Titans, the road to the Super Bowl goes to Tennessee.
Yeah.
You had A.J. Brown. You had Derrick Henry. You had Deontay Foreman. You had some good pieces in place. The offensive line was decent. Do you think with that roster, and I'll give you my answer after yours, do you think with that roster last year, a year before, whatever it was, you insert Lamar Jackson, do they win the Super Bowl?
Does Lamar Jackson throw three interceptions?
No, Lamar's never. I mean, Lamar.
I'd say yes.
Say Lamar is who he has been as, because he's gotten better each and every year. Mm-hmm. Who he has been as a player. You saw what he was able to do with just a tight end. Now you add a tight end, you add a receiver, then you add this running back in that offense. You're winning a Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson,
yes,
if that is indeed the case.
Because I think the Titans could have won the Super Bowl last year with Ryan Tannehill, without an elite quarterback. Mm-hmm. You add an elite quarterback into the mix, that's a really freaking dangerous team.
So my thing was, my what I was trying to say is this. Every elite quarterback needs pass catchers. Every one of them. From Tom Brady to Peyton Manning, they all need them. They can, without them, they can still probably get you to a playoffs. I'm not saying that. But in order to win those championships, they need players that can step up in big moments. If Tom didn't have those guys stepping up in big moments, he may not win some of those Super Bowls. If Peyton Manning doesn't have Marvin Harrison and Wayne, he may not win those Super Bowls. He may get to them. Here's what I'm saying. Because we put so much. Aaron Rodgers is a perfect example. Without pass catchers, Aaron Rodgers is not an elite quarterback. He's not. We may want to believe he's an elite quarterback. He has an elite quarterback arm. He has an elite quarterback mind. But without the pass catchers, you ain't going to damn place. You're sitting at home just like Ryan Tannehill. So you got to have those elite guys on the outside to even give you an opportunity to make it to a Super Bowl. You just have to. You know, even to get you to an AFC championship game consistently, you got to have in this era of football, no longer can you win or win Super Bowls with just running the ball effectively and probably having one pass catcher. You can't do it anymore. You have to have multiple pass catchers. I don't even think you really have to have a dominant Derrick Henry run game. But if you got those pass catchers on the outside, you got your nice defense, oh, you're going to win a championship because you have that elite quarterback. That's why Aaron Rodgers has not won a Super Bowl since when? I don't know. It's been years. When he won his Super Bowl, they had a hell of a defense. They had the defensive player of the year in Woodson. They had pass catchers on the outside. All he had to do was come in and be Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't have that no more. Has he been back to the Super Bowl? No. So we put a lot on these quarterbacks and say, oh, they're elite. But without pass catchers, what are you? You're a elite quarterback just getting your team into a playoff, and that's as far as you can go. You're not winning a Super Bowl without those elite pass catchers.
Yeah, and all of that to say, I'm out on the Lamar Jackson sweepstakes, if it's even a possibility. I mean, I'm out on it. The picks that you would have to give up and the holes that this team has to fill, I'm out on it. Mm-hmm. But it's fun to think about.
It's a nice dream, ain't it?
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Ask D-Mace coming up next. And remember, the best question for D-Mace. We'll get a nice prize. So get your calls, get your texts in for D-Mace. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Billy, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.
D-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
D-Mace.
Fire. On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time for Ask D-Mace. Get your questions in for D-Mace. You can call him in, text him in, 615-737-1025. Ask D-Mace is brought to you by Curation CBD. Find their healing products at CuratianCompany.com. Curation CBD products curated for life. And use promo code D-Mace, D-M-A-S-E, at CuratianCompany.com for 25% off Curation CBD products. Now remember, the best question asked for D-Mace will win 4 tickets to see Belmont Bruins men's basketball take on Murray State on January 17th at the Curb Event Center. That's Belmont Bruins basketball on January 17th. Let's get into it because the people have questions for D-Mace.
Let's go.
One texter texts in and asks D-Mace, but we already have a quarterback. What about Malik Willis? Are you out on him or no?
Man, I think he's going to do what he needs to do in the offseason to be a better quarterback, first and foremost. But I don't think he's ready. I think he needs another year because I think this year was just – it set him back because, to me, he wasn't supposed to see the field at all. And I think each game he didn't get better. It seemed like things started to get a little worse. And granted, it could be because of the personnel, too. I get that. But I think he's a guy that will he ever be a starter? I don't know. But can he be a backup in this league? I think so. I've seen enough backups that are not good, and I would love to believe and want to believe that Malik Willis will be at least good enough to be a backup one of these days, but not at this point of time. I think you need to come in and get this quarterback position situated quickly. He can be in your future plans as a backup, but you need a starter now. Not saying that there's something wrong with Ryan Tannehill, but you need your starter for the future. And you need a guy that you know has the skill set, that has been through big games, that understands it, and you see it when you watch him play. A guy that I don't have to worry or wonder about whether, can he really play at this level considering, what he was taught in college? No. I want a guy that, at least in my mind, I believe that can come in and potentially, like in the next year, be my starting quarterback. Malik Willis is not there. He's not.
I don't even think he can be the backup next year.
It's going to be tough. That's why I'm keeping Joshua Dobbs, and allowing Malik Willis to become a better player. And listen, just because it doesn't work here doesn't mean it won't work at another team. Mm. He may go to another team and it work out perfectly. But right now, I don't think he's ready to see the field. At this point in time, again, he may come back in the offseason and he may do a 180. And we may be looking at this and like, wow, this kid really did some work in the offseason. Mm-hmm. But then again, he could come back and be the same player. So I can't wish on that. I need to have my guys in place. And right now, Dobbs is my backup. Ryan Tannehill is my starter. And I'm trying to go out and get my future quarterback.
And how much time can the Titans really afford to let Malik Willis develop? And how long can they really hope that he turns into a quarterback that can at least be on the field?
They're going to give him, I would say he's going to be on this roster somehow, some way, some form of fashion next season. Mm-hmm. If he's not, I would be surprised. But beyond that, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I really don't.
Cole texts in with a question for D-Mace. Asks, what was the hardest contract incentive that you've ever had?
None of them really, because, it's not like I had a bunch of them. Because you don't want to, live in that world where, your contract is made up of a bunch of incentives. There were a few that I reached, a few that were attainable. I think every incentive that was in my contract was an attainable incentive, whether it be 50-plus catches, 70-plus catches, 1,000 yards, 7-plus touchdowns, stuff like that, that was easily attainable. But they just put it, you put it in there because that's extra money, you get in a sense, but it's built into the contract. So I don't think there was ever anything. I didn't have to worry about games because I think I only missed, two games in my Tennessee Titan career, maybe three. So I didn't have to worry about that. But there was nothing that I looked at my contract was like, whoa, will I ever be able to reach this? No, if you wanted to put 1,500, 1,600 yards, let's go. That gives me more motivation to get that 1,600 yards.
Josh texts him with a question for D-Mace. Asks, have you ever wanted to be an offensive coordinator?
No.
Hinting at your future job with the Tennessee Titans.
No. Never wanted to be an offensive coordinator. I mean, their job, look at them. We're throwing Downing out the door. He's been thrown out the door, man. They get, again, that's a
cutthroat.
Yeah, it's a cutthroat job right there. It's a cutthroat business, but the offensive coordinator job, you can't hide. The receiver coach, he can sort of hide behind the scenes. The running backs coach can hide behind the scenes. These other coaches, but when you're a defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, head coach, you ain't hiding behind nobody. They see it. Like, here are the mistakes or here are the things that you're doing well. So I've never really thought about being an OC or a coach in the NFL. That never, because I saw how much time it took and how much time they were away from their families. And I'm like, man, I went through that for 15 years. I don't want to go through it for another 15 or 20 years. If I do get a job at coaching, I don't want to be on that level. It just takes a lot, man. And then, like Deion Sanders said it perfectly. I'm not into coaching rich folks. I want to coach like the kids
kiddos.
Yeah, they want this. You can see it in their eyes when they walk through the door. I don't really have to. The motivation is them walking in the door and them wanting to be in the NFL one day or wanting to be a starter on this team. Rich players walking through the locker room, man, it's just totally different. It's totally different, So I would rather be on the college coaching carousel than the pro coaching carousel.
But now the kids in college are rich folks.
Yeah, but it's still a little different. Yeah. I think it's still a little different. I think it's still the purity is still in their eyes. It's still in their ability. They still want to learn, And you get up in this level, these players ain't – a lot of them ain't – You teach me is, I know what I know and I'm going to do my thing. And a lot of times it works out. You understand it.
Yeah.
But I would rather do that at the college level than the pro level.
One texter texts in says, do you think the Titans win the Super Bowl last year with Tom Brady as the quarterback?
No.
No?
I think they have a better shot at winning it. I think they at least get the AFC Championship game. At least that's the least. But because my thing is, you know, it's hard to get to a Super Bowl. It's even harder to win it. And everything has to happen. Everything has to happen just right. Everything almost has to happen perfectly. You look at all these Super Bowls. You look at the Rams last year. They shouldn't have won that game, the NFC Championship game.
It was a bobble pick six in the air, bobble interception in the end zone.
Absolutely. Yeah. It takes luck to get to that point, you know, because everybody, once you get to the playoffs and once you get to the AFC Championship game, the NFC Championship game, these games are closely contested. Mm-hmm. Look at Buffalo in Kansas City last year. It's hard to get there. So I would have loved to think yes, but you just never know.
A better shot, absolutely.
A better shot, absolutely.
I'd put my money on if Tom Brady quarterback this team last year. Oh, I would say they'd probably win the Super Bowl, but that's so easy to say.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, plug in a quarterback with seven Super Bowls on a team that really was was three interceptions away from being in the AFC Championship. Feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, I mean.
We'll get right back into your questions for D-Mace. And remember, the best question for D-Mace will win four tickets to see the Belmont Bruins men's basketball team take on Murray State on January 17th. Right back into your phones, right back into your questions for D-Mace. 1025, 1063, the game.
D-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw.
Receiving yards.
There he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Ask D-Mace is brought to you by Curation CBD. Find their healing products at CurationCompany.com. Curation CBD products curated for life. Use promo code D-Mace, D-M-A-S-E, at CurationCompany.com for 25% off Curation CBD products. Let's get right back into your questions for D-Mace. 615-737-1025. If you have a question for D-Mace, Andrew from Dover texts in and says, who's a better kick or punt returner, you or Deion Sanders?
I would say me. But listen, I am.
Own it, D-Mace. It's you.
Listen, I believe I believe that I was a damn good punt returner and kickoff returner, but man, oh man, I mean, my ego is not that big to say Deion Sanders was just a different type of athlete. I didn't have the speed that Prime had. You know, he was a 4-1 guy. If I tried to run a 4-1, I probably would have popped both Achilles and knees and hamstrings and everything else. But I held my own. I did it for as long as they wanted me to, and I excelled at it. But Prime was just on another level. I think he has more returns than I do. I think I have, what, 3-4 returns, kickoff and punt together. I think he may have 5 or 6, or probably more than that. So, but you know, Prime was Prime. You know,
pretty good person to be
compared
to.
Exactly, absolutely. So,
Corey texts in, asks D-Mace, the Pro Bowl has become boring. I personally no longer want to watch it. I also don't like the fan votes. So, in your opinion, how do you fix the Pro Bowl and make it more interesting?
You don't have it. You throw it out. That's the only way it's going to become interesting, because this sport is so physical. It's not, you know, it's not like basketball where, you know, you do it in the middle of the season, and you know the guys are pretty much, they're not playing defense and you know whatnot, and they take care of one another. Even on the football field, if you want to take care of one another, you still got to tackle somebody. They still got to be running around. You still can blow out an ACL just by getting tackled. There's no way they can make this game better. It was really good prior years, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Why? Because guys looked at it a little bit differently. Guys wanted to go out and play in a Pro Bowl. Guys wanted to play against that, possibly that guy that they would never or never have played against, or guys want to play with somebody they've never played against. You know, right. I wanted to catch a pass from Peyton Manning. That was my only opportunity to catch a pass from Peyton Manning, was in the Pro Bowl.
It is a cool opportunity. You
know, exactly. So
get to know other players around the league.
Absolutely. So it was much different. Right now, because of the contracts, because of, you know, guys understand that, you know, this game really means nothing in the big scheme. So why am I going to go out here and put myself at risk of getting injured? That's why, you know, you see guys opting to not go to the Pro Bowl. They get down to like the third or fourth person on the chart.
Like Mac Jones.
Exactly. Now he's a Pro Bowler. Like any other, he would have never been a Pro Bowler. But all of a sudden now, because Aaron Rodgers didn't want to go, Tom Brady doesn't want to go, you know, whether it's Burrow don't want to go, all these guys don't want to go, and then you get back to the sixth quarterback, and it's like, okay, Mac Jones, do you want to go? Mac's like, yeah, of course I want to go.
Yes, I do.
Absolutely I want to go.
Well, and now it's the Pro Bowl games,
yeah,
which, like, a skills competition, which I think is so boring. Like, at that point, just make the Pro Bowl an honor.
Exactly.
Call yourself a Pro Bowler. You don't need all the pomp and circumstance.
No.
You don't need the games. I don't need to see guys, you know, go through drills.
Because it's one, you're getting recognized by, you know, not necessarily your peers, because I guess it's people, individuals can use that in negotiation tactics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, I'm a 3-time pro bowler, you know. Well, yes, I recognize that you're a pro bowler, but I don't care if you played in the game or not. You know, if say, for instance, you know, look, Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow can make the Pro Bowl, which he probably will, for the next 10 years and never play in any of the games. You think the next his GM that's going to sign him cares of whether he played in the game or not? He's probably happy he didn't play in the game.
Right.
You know?
It's a good sign, exactly, if you don't play in the game.
All you want is, was I named a Pro Bowler? Yes. That's all you need. Mm-hmm. You don't need to play in the game.
Yeah, you remember, and you look back on a career, you say, oh, he's a 4-time Pro Bowler.
Exactly. You don't think, oh, did he play in that game or not? No.
Yeah.
I don't know. How many Pro Bowls have Tom Brady played in within the last 3 or 4 years?
I have no idea.
Exactly. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
But he was a Pro Bowl. That's all we care about.
Nobody cares. But Wes in Hermitage texts in and says, D-Mace, if you were on the current team and you were still a player and somebody asked you what you need and what you want to see this offseason as a wide receiver, what would you say as a player?
As a player, I would answer it very cautiously, and I would answer it honestly, but knowing that, you know, I got to be cautious. I got to be careful on how I say this as a player, because it's, you know, somebody say, well, what do you think you need? And you come out, man, we need another quarterback. Man, we need
this. This team stinks.
And then everybody's looking like, dude, what's going on? Like, seriously? I think there's a way you can say that without saying that. To say, listen, we just need to get better as an offense, whatever it is, at whatever position. We need to get better. You know what position we need to get better at. I don't need to say it. You know, only thing I need to say is we need to get better as a team. I need to come back more focused, you know, than I was last year. Not to say I wasn't focused last year, but I need to come back even more focused than that. Make sure I do what I need to do in offseason so I can be ready for a 17 game season, and allow the GM and head coach to make the decisions. You know, we just need help all around. It doesn't matter at what position. We just need to come back a better team. That satisfies, hopefully, the person that is asking the question, but then you don't throw anybody under the bus.
And you also don't make any headlines.
Exactly.
For the wrong
absolutely,
reasons.
Absolutely.
Another texter texts in and asks, D-May, since you want a quarterback for the Titans next year, if you could pick any quarterback in this year's draft or in the league now, who would you build your team around?
It would be Joe Burrow that I would build my team around.
I think a lot of people would probably say that.
You know, taking out Tom Brady, because he's just past that. I'm not trying to build my team around Tom Brady.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Or Aaron Rodgers. Those guys you're not building teams around. They're older guys. But Joe Burrow would be the guy, hands down. I would take him over, you know, Josh Allen. I would take him over. As good as Patrick Mahomes is, I would take him over Patrick Mahomes. No indictment on Patrick Mahomes. Not saying that Patrick Mahomes is horrible or anything else, but what I see in Joe Burrow and in his attitude, demeanor, everything else, that's the guy that I want to build my team around. And then, say, guys, in this draft, it it would be Bryce Young. To me, the knock is his height, and I get it.
He's small.
Yeah, he's small. Drew Brees was small.
Yep.
You know?
Drew Brees is pretty darn good. Drew Brees won a Super Bowl.
Exactly. Drew Brees won a Super Bowl. Drew Brees is considered one of the best quarterbacks ever to get underneath the center.
But I do understand the apprehensions of a franchise that may not would be on the fence about drafting Bryce Young because of his size. Look at Kyler. That's an obvious disadvantage for Kyler.
Well, you just got to build up your offensive line. I think he's a much better passer. I think he's a much better player. I think he's a much better leader than Kyler Murray. And if I had to build my franchise from what I've seen, Bryce Young is just – he's a smaller version of Joe Burrow. Nothing seems to rattle this kid. It doesn't matter what you throw at him, how you throw it at him. It doesn't matter. He doesn't get rattled. He looks it straight in the eye, and he throws the football. It doesn't matter. That's how Joe Burrow was at LSU, and that's how Joe Burrow is now in the NFL. If you saw that in Joe Burrow in college and he's doing it in the NFL, what do you think, you know, the kid out of Alabama, Bryce Young's going to do? He's displayed the same type of mentality that Joe Burrow did. So he's going to get in the NFL. If you solidify the offensive line, he's going to be good.
And Joe Burrow did it with a coach who got fired a year and a half later.
Absolutely.
Back to your phones. Follow the from MayWilsonCountyHoney.com. Tim is up next with a question for D-Mace. What's up, Tim?
Hey, just real quick. Since you played in the NFL for 15 years, D-Mace, can you think of any TV show or movie other than The Man in the Castle, the Tom Brady documentary, that accurately or most closely represents life in football? Like Any Given Sunday or Friday Night Lights, something of that nature?
Yeah, thanks, Tim.
Thank you, Tim. I don't know, because the whole Tom Brady thing was a documentary. It was based on, you know, what he was going. They were filming.
It was made to be real.
Exactly. It was real reality. It was real reality television. Now, they edited, you know, to make it better for, you know, for the viewers. But that is what the NFL world is when you walk through those doors. Now, outside, you know, everybody's not living Tom Brady's life. Everybody's not married to a supermodel. Everybody's not, you know, doing all these things that Tom does. But everybody's doing, once he walked through those doors to go into that facility, yeah, that's life. That's what goes on. Now, they're not going to show you everything because they can't. But for the most part, yeah, that's life in the NFL. What Tom had to go through, you know, whether it be injury, you know, day-to-day things that he did inside that building, that's what.
Sacrifices you have to make.
Sacrifices, not spending a lot of time with your family. That's what NFL life is about. That's what NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, that's what that life is about. You know, spending more time at the facility during the season than you are with your family. You know, going through the hard times at the facility and the games that other people are not, will never see. You know, only thing you get to see is Saturdays or Sundays or Mondays or Thursday. That's the good stuff. You don't see the grind behind the scenes. You didn't see Steve McNair, you know, on the training table more times than not. You know, he spent more time on the training table than he did at practice half sometimes. So those are things that you don't see. So I don't think there's a movie out there that accurately depicts what an athlete goes through. Now, that documentary that Tom did, yeah, that's more so of what we have to deal with on the field. Again, Tom's life off the field, everybody don't do that. Everybody's not accustomed. Everybody doesn't go through that in their life.
And it's but so easy on the field, to glamorize it.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. So, and I'm sure, listen, he and his wife, unfortunately, got a divorce. Did nobody see that? Mm-hmm. They weren't going to show you that. You know, they were just going to show you all the good stuff and maybe some, you know, bad things, or, you know, heartfelt things, but they weren't going to show you the real nitty gritty. What you saw on the football field or inside those walls, what they were able to show you, yeah, that's what he had to go through.
That was Ask D. Mace, and the best question for D. Mace will win four tickets to go see Belmont Bruins basketball on January 17th. Thanks to everybody for getting in their questions for D. Mace.
Appreciate it. Keep on it. Keep it up. Next week is going to be the same thing.
Coming up next, the Titans are at a crossroads, to use that word again. How do they move forward offensively? And what's the best thing for this team, both in the short-term future and the long-term as well? We'll get into all of that coming up next. And, of course, your phones, 615-771-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.